We're having a special class on the play Ma'aseh Shimshon, written by Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato, the same rabbi who compiled the famous work of Mesilat Yesharim. And as we study this, we're going to try to stay true to the text on multiple levels, because I think that Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato over here was alluding to so many things as you read it. There's so many lines that are play on words, excuse the pun, from Tanakh, that if you stop and think about it, you suddenly realize, hey, he's telling me something completely different. So we're going to read the play, and I think that what we should do is read each section first in its simplistic form, as that part of the play, and then review it and go line by line and try to understand what Ramchal maybe was saying. Now, what bothers me about all this is that I don't have a Rashi on this, right? Ramchal lived after Rashi. So I don't really have a commentary here to tell me what did Ramchal mean. So basically what you're getting now is Ramchal with Nathanael Frankenthal. I don't have a commentary. I don't have a tradition. No one ever taught me this work. So take it or leave it for what it's worth. But I'll explain to you what I think he's saying and why that's what I think. And you have to decide if it's right or wrong. This isn't something based on tradition. I have no basis for what I'm saying other than my own understanding. And I'll tell you the references I'm drawing from that's where I got my understanding from. So let's begin. Our book is called Ma'aseh Shimshon, which in its own right needs definition. I want you to notice throughout the play that the word Shemesh will show up often. Shimshon, our sages say, is about the word Shemesh, which means fortification, right? We know Shemesh is the sun, right? But in Tanakh, the word Shemesh is also the fortification of a city.
What is fortification?
Haganah. Kirot sheMeginot al ha'ir, the walls that fortify a city are also called Shemesh.
Where?
Is it in Mishlei?
That's
one pasuk. There's another one.
But it's allegoric. Like the sun is the Shemesh.
No. So over there also some of the commentaries learn that the word Shemesh is the wall. What's the other pasuk? I forgot right now. What's the pasuk? I don't remember right now. You could go back to our first class on Shimshon, and I quoted it there. Okay, so our play begins, the way plays often begin, with a list of characters. We're on page 25 in this edition, and our characters are Shimshon, Cheshek, Desire. Desire is going to be its own angel, as we'll see in a minute. Avi Shimshon, we have the character Samson's father. Timnit, the woman from the city of Timnat. We're going to have to wonder a little bit about that, and we'll get there. Plishtim, the Philistines. Mirmad, deceit. Choten Shimshon, Shimshon's father-in-law. Sarei Plishtim, the Philistine nobles. Yehuda, the tribe of Judea. Magid, we'll see in a second who that is. Azatim, the people of Aza. Delilah, obviously. Shochad, bribe. And Shaliach HaSaranim, the messenger, the emissary of the leaders of the Philistines. And finally, the lad who will hold Samson's hand as he brings him forward in front of the Philistines. Vihine, says Ramchal, and behold, Atziv alecha tziyunim, I will present before you markers al dmut haba'im b'ma'asim ha'ele, about the figure of the different people, the different characters that will be in our play, v'levushayhem, and their garments and their dress. Okay, if you guys studied a little bit of English literature, so this is how plays go, right? Shakespeare did the same thing. You have a description of all the figures, and then you have a description of their dress. Haloheima, who are our figures? Hagvura cheshek hamirma shochad, veichaluka shoidamu mamoshlim. So here we have the might, the desire, the deceit, the bribery. You're going to see now how they're going to be described. Before we read on, I want to challenge you for 1 second. How do you imagine he's going to dress desire? How do you imagine he's going to dress deceit? How do you imagine he's going to dress bribery? So let's begin. Might, gvura. How does he dress gvura? Tidame isha. Okay, it's a woman. Lo and behold, might is a woman. Stop, think for a minute. Might is a woman. We're talking about Samson and all of his might. Ah, but maybe part of the message of this book is about a different type of might. Maybe we're not talking about brawn, right? Think of a woman dressed in armor, and she's wearing a helmet. Her right hand holds a sharp sword, and in her left hand she has a group of torches that are burning. So that is might. Might is a woman. Might is a woman. And we'll expand on that momentarily. Yes?
Really quickly, do you think that this play was ever meant to be like enacted, and so by whom?
I don't know. Don't know. Hacheshek, desire. Narove kashat, it's a young lad holding a bow. Velo knafayim, he has wings. Kikamfenish, like an eagle's wings. Hamirma, deceit. Narayafa, beautiful Latin, a beautiful girl. Mimishbitzot zav levusha, she's adorned with gold. Uviyada ha'achat kosmlan ofet sufim, and in one hand she has a cup filled with the sweetest drink. Uviyada acheret saraf mofef, and in her other hand she has a serpent that is flying, a flying serpent. So that is deceit. Sweet in one hand and a flying serpent in the other.
Serpent is like a snake?
It's a type of snake, yeah.
Like the sort
of okay, so next character, Hashochad, bribery. Isha du bilbusho, a man wearing the finest clothing. He's wrapped in a coat that's adorned with silver and gold. And he's blind. Remember, bribery makes one blind. His mouth is wide and open. In one hand he has a heart that's been tilted. The pages are two-sided. And in the other hand he has a set of scales tilting to the right. Finally, Heichalo, the palace, Amon Rachavad Meod, a very broad castle, Vekiruyo, Mitzupim, Zahav, Vekesef, his walls are adorned with gold and silver, Kisom Husem Meor Zeev, the throne is made out of the hide of a wolf, Kichenu Yishava, Vetachat Adom Aglav, Dmut Kemare Eshet Yifat Toar, and under his footrest is a figurine like a gorgeous woman, and on her forehead shines truth. Now the term zarcha b'mitzcha, to shine on one's forehead, is the term that's ordinarily used for a leper. Tzaras usually shines on the forehead in Tanakh. Over here, truth is shining on her forehead. So we'll get to all of that. What do all of these represent? Let's begin our play. So we have these different figures.